This is Odessa Orlowitz. I'm reporting on a meeting that just happened, the World Health Organization meeting regarding the IHR and the pandemic treaty that they are so desperately trying to push forward. This is a new meeting that just happened. I'm about to show you 9 clips from this meeting. If you want the entire meeting, I will put a link in the comments that directs you to librti.com/Odessa, where the entire meeting will be. I want you to take note that they are very concerned that they're not going to get this treaty signed in time because of what they call misinformation, disinformation, and conspiracy theories. The main thing they say, and you're going to see it in these clips, is this is just conspiracy theory. You will not lose your sovereignty as a nation to us. Of course not. You would have your own, you have to abide by your own laws. How silly of us to think that we would lose our sovereignty. But you need to pay attention to the words he says of, it is you, the member states, writing this. He slides over the word writing this. So what he's saying is, we're about to pressure you to sign amendments. It's not going well for us. Hurry up. We're going to miss the deadline. And of course, it's not you giving away your sovereignty because, gosh darn it, you guys are the ones that wrote this. You signed it. This is all your idea. So when you sign this, it's you writing that you're agreeing to lockdowns, forced vaccination, and having to do anything the WHO says. If he truly meant that you won't lose your sovereignty, he would say, whatever you sign here, guys, you don't actually have to do it. It's just a recommendation. He also uses the word legal contract in this video. Don't be deceived. What he's saying is, you chose this, and we want you to sign this, and when we do this to you, it's legally binding, but you're the ones that wrote the rules. We are winning with the truth. They are upset about this. I really hope you share this video to everybody in the world to show them where it's at. And you make sure that you copy the part that says, you wrote this. Because right there, it shows this is legally binding. And you'll see they're pressuring everybody to sign it and that it's not going well. Here's the first clip.
The world is watching. The stakes are high, and time is short. It's difficult to overstate the importance and urgency of this work. If the international community misses this opportunity, it will be difficult to achieve the comprehensive reform we need, especially for equitable access to pandemic-related products. What we need is a meaningful and impactful outcome to strengthen the international legal framework for strengthening pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. But if the final products do not change the status quo, and if they do not help to ensure collective security and equity, then we will have missed our chance to make history. This work is not easy, and it's occurring in a very difficult environment. The IMB and the IHR working group are operating amid a torrent of fake news, lies, and conspiracy theories. There are those who claim that the pandemic agreement and IHR will cede sovereignty to WHO and give the WHO Secretariat the power to impose lockdowns or vaccine mandates on countries. You know, this is fake news, lies, and conspiracy theories. You know, these claims are completely false. You know that the agreement will give WHO no such powers because you are writing it.
Because You are writing it. There it is. At 4 minutes and 30-ish seconds, he said it. Because you are writing it.
We cannot allow this historic agreement, this milestone in global health, to be sabotaged by those who spread lies, either deliberately or unknowingly. We need your support to counter these lies by speaking up at home and telling your citizens that this agreement and an amended IHR will not and cannot cede sovereignty to WHO and that it belongs to the member states. The reality is quite the opposite. You're safeguarding national sovereignty while strengthening global health security. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. It's not a zero-sum game. The agreement is negotiated by countries, for countries, and will be implemented in countries in accordance with your own national laws. And I know you're doing this considering into account that this will bring to your citizens. In fact, these processes have the potential to empower countries in critical ways. They can help to ensure that countries have the systems, tools, capacities, and infrastructure for effective, timely, and equitable pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. This is not a choice between global health security and national or regional interests. It's about working together towards a safer, healthier, and more equitable world for all. Excellencies, dear colleagues and friends, there are still important differences under discussion, and these are difficult discussions. But it's crucial to remember that the differences are not about the goals. They are about the means to achieve those goals. There is a way to reach consensus. It's up to member states to be bold, to be creative, and to find the way forward. And I believe you will. As I said this morning, you will not reach consensus if everyone remains entrenched in their positions. It will take patience, it will take courage, it will take innovative thinking, and above all, compromise. It will take compromise and finding a middle ground. To deliver on time, everyone will have to give something, or no one will get anything. A special attention should be given to improving the capacity of all member states to detect and share pathogens that present a pandemic risk, and to putting in place mechanisms so that member states have timely access to critical response products such as diagnostics, therapeutics, and vaccines. I reassure you of my support and that of my colleague regional directors and the entire Secretariat. This is the generation that lived through the COVID-19 pandemic. And this is the generation that must learn its painful lessons and protect.
Must learn its painful lessons to never, ever listen to the WHO again.
The generations who will come after us.
Two key issues I would ask executive board members to consider. The first, and I should say both of these DG Tedros has touched on, the first is we have just two meetings left to finalise the IHR amendments so that they can be approved and adopted at the WHA this May. It is vital we meet this deadline, as it will take a further 18 months for any amendments to come into force. And as DG Tedros alluded to, we all know that the sense of urgency around pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response is waning.
because we know you're wanting to release this fear porn of the next virus X that you've already been fear porning. You got to get all this in place before you launch that fear porn.
We need to grasp this moment and maintain our sense of urgency. So now is the time for member states to redouble their collective commitment to and support for this process. We need your full support as EB members, and indeed the support of all member states, to make sure that your negotiators have both the mandate and the flexibility to achieve consensus during these last two meetings, so that we end up with changes that truly strengthen the IHR and better prepare us all and enable more equitable pandemic prevention, preparedness and response. The second point I would ask EB members to consider carefully is, as the DG has alluded to, this coordinated and sophisticated campaign that is attempting to undermine both these processes and indeed the WHO itself through misinformation and disinformation and linking that to various conspiracy theories. Governments and some politicians, individual politicians in many countries are being targeted, and I suspect many of you are aware of this in your own country. A key assertion of these theories is that the process is being driven by WHO to increase its power and its ability to direct countries, and that it will undermine national sovereignty. We are, of course, fully aware this is nonsense and that this is a fully member state.
Then why do you make it legally binding, sir? Why are they not just recommendations like before? This is legally binding, and you're pressuring our countries to sign something they're not so sure of. Is it a conspiracy theory that in Africa, where they didn't really get vaccines, everyone was fine, death tolls were low, and all-cause mortality is not up? Is that the conspiracy theory you're talking about? Or is it the conspiracy theory that these COVID shots never worked? Or is it the conspiracy theory that in the most vaccinated countries for COVID has the highest death rate and the highest all-cause mortality, the highest unknown deaths, the highest we don't know why there's excess mortality?
Driven process. It is essential that member states reiterate this point domestically, and also fully support the DG in his efforts and the efforts of WHO to respond to and counter this mis and disinformation. We can't let the DG do this alone. It includes us mobilizing key actors within our countries that understand and support the importance of these two processes. I'd like to hand over now to Dr. Asiri to see if he has any other comments, and then back to you. Thank you again.
And the other one I already mentioned, it's time. Normally you would take 7 years to accomplish something like this, but we gave ourselves 2 years, which is extremely short. So we should be not too harsh on ourselves whilst acknowledging that this is not so easy to accomplish. And because actually it's a main achievement if we would be able to pull this off in 2 years, and we could be really proud of ourselves if we would be able to, and I trust that we will.
There is also what has been said as misinformation about sovereignty. I do not think that any member states led process can expose member states to sovereignty issues, because they are the ones making decisions about what must be contained in the pandemic agreement.
Did you hear that? Because they are the ones that decide on what's contained in the pandemic agreement. So she's saying, this is a pandemic agreement, and you guys are the ones that put these rules in. Nowhere does anybody say, if we tell you guys what to do based on this treaty that's legally binding, and you guys decide you don't trust us, it's not right for your citizens, you've realized something that isn't right, you can get out of it. She doesn't say that. You never have to do what we're telling you. They're just convincing you that this was all your idea, Canada. This was all your idea, America, Europe, Africa. And we have unelected officials signing it.
But also, what kind of amendments must be incorporated in the IHR as the process has been described by the co-chairs of the WGIHR?
I do have two questions I'd like to put to you. Firstly, you pointed out that discussions within the group had permitted some progress in the discussions. Given the deadline, are these discussions expected to continue? That's my first question. And then secondly, we see that the Canada is now very challenging, and the international experts have made an important contribution and perhaps could make more contributions in terms of making progress, given the need to try to meet the deadline that's been set. Thank you.
You may think he said Canada there. I had to listen to it four times. He says calendar, so he wasn't talking about Canada.
And then secondly, if the negotiations were not to meet the May 2024 deadline, what measures do you intend to take to overcome that failure, if you like? And what would the consequences of such a failure be on our preparation and response to future pandemics?
Thank you, Gerard.
Our colleague from Morocco, you said a couple of things, but one of the things was, I think, is what if we fail? What if we do not live up to the mandate we have and delivering and something in May 24? And the easiest thing I can say is, well, I don't want to think about that, because we have to, because there are a lot of reasons why we should not go that path. But of course, we are just as clever as everybody in this room, and we also have in the back of our minds a scenario where we might need to have to think about that, but we like to leave that aside as long as possible. But basically, because if we do not meet that mandate, we will be in a very, very difficult place, and we do not want to put that on the table yet.
EB members, for their questions and comments, and indeed support. Three quick comments from me, and the first relates to the deadline. Certainly in our process, we've been very clear that our mandate is to report back a package of targeted amendments for consideration at this year's WHA. And given that is the extent of our mandate and the urgency and imperative that we update the IHR, that remains our very clear intent and focus. And that, I can also say, is the intent and focus of the members of the working group, that is the member states or state parties to the IHR. So we're very focused on that deadline, and we will be undertaking our work with a view to ensuring we meet that deadline. France raised the issue of input from international experts. We've got an excellent report. However, the committee was convened to provide that report, but the process really now is member state driven. It is a negotiation, and we call for expertise where we require it or it adds value through the secretariat, and that process has been working well on a range of topics. My second comment relates to the points made by Yemen and Barbados, and this is about ensuring that through the implementation of this process, we are building capacity so that the IHR can be implemented equitably, so that countries can have access to what they need to ensure they can implement the IHR in full. And this has been a very big part of our work and our discussion, and will be part of the consensus we reach. So a very high priority for us is to ensure that not just the updated IHR are completed, but that we have paved the way for successful implementation. And finally, the request from Morocco, which related to EB support. And I'd just like to go back to the two comments I made initially. I think there are two key things. First of all, ensuring that negotiators, not just from executive board countries, but from all member states, have the mandate and flexibility to help us achieve consensus over these next two meetings in February and April. And secondly, to work very hard with the Secretariat and support the DG in his efforts to counter the mis and disinformation. And I think the USA also raised the important role that other stakeholders can play here, who are a key part of countering that mis and disinformation and really supporting these processes, because there is an intent of some of those trying to undermine the processes to ensure that they don't finish, that they do fail. That's not our intent, and the full support of EB members and indeed member states will be essential there.
If this had been a war, we would be looking, a world war, we would be looking at ways to reduce the risk of a future one. We'd be looking at ways to ensure that it didn't happen again and to reduce its impact. We'd be looking for the means to avoid the pain in future. And that is the rules-based international system, the multilateral system has been created to do that, which is to reduce the impact of inconsistency and incoherence between member states.
Did you hear him say rules-based? Rules? Treaty? Treaties have the highest of law, of authority. Legal? Like I said, I'm going to be putting the full meeting in the comments section of this tweet or wherever you're seeing this video.
Bring agreement on things that can be agreed and deliver for our communities together, even in the midst of geopolitical disagreements over so many things around the world at the moment. I think this is one thing the world agrees on, and one thing that something can be done about. Because sometimes I look at global problems, and Tedros teaches me a lot, and see the intractability of those problems. Tedros doesn't do that. He tries to see the opportunity, what can be done rather than what cannot be done. And this is one of the few areas, I believe, in international multilateral affairs where we have the same objective, as Tedros said. We just disagree on how to get there and the means. But we have one chance. And I would say that to you on behalf of health workers around the world.